No, we are on. Okay. It's really, really great to see everybody again. I mean, to begin with that, this moment, it's a fantastic thing for everybody. Just look at the screen. Look at the people who you know. See all the people who you know, and that's already, it's like, brings a smile to your face. It's already mental health in a box over here a little bit. Ariel, when you see smiling people, it helps you smile also a little bit more, especially people you know. Helps you think. It abates the loneliness a little bit to see everybody else over there. See the people who you know. See like, oh, wow. Like we said, oh, everybody still exists there outside of, you know, outside of just our thoughts being confined to our own realities, being left to our own minds. You know, it's a little. Sometimes it's a little much for us. So we see everybody. It makes us smile a bit. That to begin with is already helping our mental health. That's already something to be, as they say, hashtag grateful or thankful or both. Next session, we're going to talk about an exercise about being thankful and grateful. But somebody reached out to me and asked if we could talk about something else specifically this week, so we're going to do that. Part of what we are dealing with now, if you remember, last week we talked about this tremendous paradigm shift, this tremendous feeling of that something's changed and it's not the same anymore. So we've got that. We're living that. But now that, you know, there's a new skill that also, I mean, it's okay to sit with that skill also if you want. But there's another component also. Let me illustrate for a minute, I guess. That was probably the best way to do this. When I was in 11th grade, I was a specialty counselor in a camp. You know, specialty counselor, they're the fun ones because you don't have a bunk actually, and you just have to, you know, interact with any group of campers for about a half an hour at a time. That's part of the fun of being specialty staff. You don't have a bunk, and they all move from time to time, and you don't have to, you know, deal with them for more than 45 minutes at a hit. And that's part of the awesomeness of being a specialty staff member. So I was a specialty staff member, and what we were doing, the outdoor stuff, you know, mountain climbing, hiking, spelunking. And part of what we had to do was that we had like a special spelunking box. They built this spelunking box. What's a spelunking box? Well, what they had was it was like a 12-foot long crate with like a variable height ceiling. So you could pick it up and put it down at different heights. You could make it, you know, look like a regular box. But then basically what you had was you had a cover, and the cover you could lift up and put bolts in, and that would make the height, you know, at different heights. So imagine like a box that you can change the height of the ceiling. I guess that's the best way to explain it. You can change the height of the ceiling. So normally, in order to practice spelunking, a spelunking is cave exploration. So to do mountain climbing, you know, we had a mountain climbing wall. So even if you didn't have a mountain, we bring the wall to you. For spelunking, it's kind of hard to bring the cave to you. But with this special mountain, this spelunking box, that's exactly what you could do. You could bring the cave to you. Okay, it was wood, and it was dry and not wet, as opposed to being rocks and wet and cold. But at least the sensation of being squished into that spot was the same, sensation, the same experience. So what you could do is that you could go and you could pretend what it would be like smushed in a cave, crawling through a little hole. Put up your fingers if you've ever been spelunking or like cave, like squishing through. Anybody? Kaya has, Eliezer has, Rina has, Ariel has. Great. Okay, so is anyone here claustrophobic? Again, put up a finger. Finger, anyone claustrophobic? Ariel is a bit. Kaya also. Rena a little bit. So you know that feeling like when you're getting squished in. I don't know if you've ever experienced that feeling. And especially if you're teaching spelunking, it's not a good thing to be claustrophobic because, like, yeah, right? It's also pretty difficult if you teach mountain climbing if you're afraid of heights. This is also a thing. So that sensation of being squished in that spot and the feeling like, oh my gosh, I can't take this. Oh my gosh, this is overwhelming. I can't deal. Get me out of here. Yeah. Anyone ever felt like that? That feeling doesn't have to be that specifically in a cave. It can be
Right now.
there you go. Right now, that feeling that, oh my gosh, I can't do this. Right? That's that feeling of I can't do this. That already is when the feeling of the sympathetic nervous system is kicking in. The feeling of, oh my gosh, I'm in a place of crisis. I'm physiologically experiencing crisis. Oh my gosh, I can't stand this. I can't do this. At that point, most of us engage our flight response. The flight response, of course, is get me out of here. The body, in a very, very strong way, very primal way, is saying, I need to get out of here somehow. I need to escape. I need to withdraw from the situation. Where are the exits? Where are the windows? Where are the doors? Get me out of here. And if you can't get out of there because, you're in quarantine, the city's on lockdown, what am I supposed to do? The walls are closing in on me. I can't stand this. So you try to move around rather than facing that feeling. Moving around rather than running away from that feeling as opposed to standing in that feeling basically allows you to keep ramping up the anticipation of that feeling. You know what's wild is that the more you give into anxiety is the stronger anxiety becomes. The more scared of something, Winston Churchill said, and it's true, the only thing we have to fear, I think it was Winston Churchill, I think it is the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Say again? Either that or it was Yogi Berra, but I think it was Winston Churchill. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Because the more afraid we become of being afraid, makes us avoid more things. The more scared we are of whatever it is, the greater the fear becomes. And the more powerful the fear becomes, the more strength we give the fear. So it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and more out of control. So you say, oh my gosh, I can't be stuck in this room for 3 weeks, 2 weeks. I can't be stuck in this house for 2 weeks. Oh my gosh, I can't stand it. I won't be able to stand it. I can't even think of standing it. I can't even hear something which reminds me of thinking of being in this house for 2 weeks. And your body starts to sense that as a threatening stimulus, and it ramps up your anxiety more and more and more. And you're going out of your mind. Because anything can be a trigger for that anxiety. As a result, we start getting, looking for any way to escape. Now, fleeing from the moment, fleeing from being present, fleeing from being right here, fleeing, of course, from being mindful. Me being threatened in this place, making this place and being here the enemy, that means that anywhere but here must be safe. There's a famous story told about Rabbi Nachman from Rabbi Nachman of Breslov. Other cultures apparently have the story also. But Rabbi Nachman told the story. Also, other, as they say, Hoifen, other Hasidic circles also have the story. that there was a man who built a shul. He's a rich man. He built a shul. I'm not sure where it was. I think it was in Krakow. It was Linda. And this man, what's the story behind the shul? He had a lot of money. How did he have a lot of money? Well, what happened is that he had a dream. He had a dream that in Vienna, there was a bridge. And under the bridge in Vienna, there was a large treasure chest of money. Huge treasure chest of money. And he was going to go and get that money. And he had that dream one time. He had that dream a second time. He had that dream a third time. Normally, so you say, oh, well, crazy dreams. What am I going to do? But guess what he did? He couldn't get it out of his head. Over and over and over, he could not get this dream out of his head. So he talked to his wife, you know, that's what any wise person does. They talk to their spouse, and they said, what should I do? Normally, I would say it's just a dream, but I can't get this dream out of my head. I keep dreaming this dream. So that's okay, what are you going to do? So go to the, you'll go to Vienna. He goes to Vienna and sees that exact bridge from his dream. Now, he was a person from Krakow. They didn't have posters. They didn't have, like, internet to surf. There was no Google Maps where you could go find that specific bridge in Vienna, like Google that bridge in Vienna. He never saw a postcard of it. He had this dream about this bridge. He came to Vienna and saw the bridge from his dream. So he's like, this is too spooky. So he went down to where he was going to dig, and he gets a shovel, he starts to dig, and all of a sudden police officer looks down and says, you, what are you doing over there? He said, I don't know. And the police officer said, either you're going to tell me or I'm going to put you in jail right now. I think you're a spy. So he says to the police officer, look, I know it sounds really crazy, but I'm from Krakow. And for weeks on end, I had this dream. I had this dream that there was like untold riches under this bridge. And I dreamed about this bridge every day for like a month. And here I am. This is the bridge for my dream. And I'm digging under the bridge. I'm looking for the treasure trove. And the guard looks at him and says, you're an idiot. That's how I know you're not a spy. Because you're too stupid to be a spy. I don't go around following everything I see in my dream. In fact, because I dream every day that there's this Jew who lives in Krakow on such and such a street, in such and such a place, and under his oven, there's a treasure trove. But you don't see me going to Krakow to go dig up some Jew's oven. Now, this guy was astonished to hear that was exactly his address, exactly his street. Of course, he's not going to tell the guard about this, but he says, you're right, officer, totally right, fine. So he goes all the way back to Krakow, moves his oven over, digs under it, and sure enough, as these stories go, there is a pot of gold under his oven. And he built the shul. And this was in the Pinkus, in the community records of the town of Krakow about this shul and about this guy's story. Rabbi Nachman used to tell the story a lot also. I don't know if it was about the place in Krakow, but about a guy like this. What's the point of the story? The point of the story is that oftentimes we're running away from where we are, looking for something only to find it under your oven, under your couch. So you run away thinking that you're, Shira's here, came to join me down in the basement. She didn't get off.
Yeah, I am.
She's not ditching me. You run away, far away, only find your treasure is under your oven. A person feels that in this moment, this can't possibly be what I want. This can't possibly be where I need to be. And therefore, I have to run as far away as I can from this place because it's stressing me out. Yep. Eliezer, I saw it in the back of Ibn Achman's stories. but it's possible that Rabbi Cohn heard it too. It's a famous story. The point, though, is that when I'm fleeing from the moment, right? I'm fleeing from being mindful. I'm fleeing from being here. I'm missing my possibility. I'm missing the opportunity to dig. I'm missing the opportunity to dig for this moment, in this moment, because the very place that I'm running away from is the very place where I need to be. And if you ever need to go anywhere, of course you do it mindfully. You know, you don't run away in a panic. You do it deliberately. Of course, there's a place for fight or flight. It's what keeps us alive. I say this all the time, but I'll strengthen it again. Of course, there's a point of having fight or flight, because it keeps us alive. It's just when it drives us out of the moment, when it gives us no respite to live here, that then we lose what we have. We lose the treasure under our stove or our oven. We lose the ability to get this opportunity. So what we need to do then is to practice, of course, being mindful. Hence, that's why we're here at the Mindful Zoom. Because we're fleeing from this place and we feel confined to this place. And for a lot of people, that's triggering. That's very triggering to be here feeling like I have no opportunities. If you remember, I think we spoke about it a couple of weeks ago at the Ladle of Inspiration, that when your future becomes your past, becomes past, when vihaya vayihi becomes past tense, normally in Hebrew class, if you remember Hebrew, so what I'm looking for, so yihi is future tense in Hebrew. In biblical Hebrew, if you put a vav in front of it, it becomes past tense. I don't know if anyone remembers that. The soup was good. I remember that. So the soup was good. But when I transform future into the past, when I transform possibility into water under the bridge and what's locked, a great deal of depression sets in, because I feel like I have no possibilities. I have no options. I feel trapped. So the person who is messaging me and asks me, what am I supposed to do? How do I feel untrapped? How do I feel untrapped? This is the point, by the way, who was asking on the chat, what are we focusing? How do I feel untrapped? How do I not feel like I'm caught in here and stuck in this place? The truth is how do I feel that I'm ever not stuck in any place? Because it's not specific to being, you know, stuck in your house because of corona. But at any moment when I'm feeling stuck, when I'm feeling caught, when I'm feeling impotent, when I feel like I have no options, then the sympathetic nervous system ramps up again. So I'm going to share with you two or three ideas from Marshall Linehan. I was going to post the book. I'll post it to the chat, the Mindful Monday chat later. But from my handy skills training manual, because it's all based on mindfulness. Oh, there's one other vart I'm going to tell you before we start the skill, because I'm a rabbi too. So I love this idea, mostly because I came up with this idea myself. And then one of my colleagues actually quoted the idea in one of her podcasts also. And that was also very gratifying, that in halacha, we have an idea called kviyas suda, right? Kviyas suda means when I wash. Whenever what we do as Jews is that oftentimes when we have a festive occasion, we wash. Right, we wash on bread, and we sit down, and we make hamotzi. Koveya suda, it's called. Nowadays, there's a thing that people call it washophobia or benchophobia. Mostly benchophobia, not washophobia. But the idea being is that most people are looking to do whatever they can not to wash and bench. Ever experienced that? Anyone experience washophobia? right? Washophobia, that's a thing, right? People don't want to, it's also fleshophobia, they have that too. They're afraid of eating meat because they're afraid that milchigs might be coming. Milchigs could be coming and I can't commit. I don't want to commit. I don't want to commit to bench. I don't want to commit to fleshigs without, I don't want to commit to a life without ice cream. It's very hard. Our future without ice cream. That future is the future without ice cream is not a future that I want to live in. And what we're asked to do, interestingly, is to be koveya suda. There are times where how do we hold on to holidays? How do we hold on to yamim tovim? How do we hold on to spirituality? We're told, wash your hands, eat bread. Why? Because this is going to set with the words in Hebrew, koveya suda. I'm going to go and set a suda. I'm going to go hold something in place. That thing that we're afraid to commit, commits to this place, commit to this time, because I'm afraid of a better time. I'm afraid there might be a better time. There might be something better. I'm fleeing from the present. I refuse to stay in the present because of something, a possibility that might be. However, being mindful asks that we stay right here in this place, in this time. Being koveya suda asks that we be here. Where's Tzvi? Be here now. Hello. They both disappeared, I guess. Be here now. Be here to ask us to be here now. Asking us to stay here, not to flee from the moment. Because if I flee from the moment, I miss the gold under my chair. I miss the gold under my oven. I miss the gold and the opportunity to reap the benefits of being here now. If I'm so busy running away from here, running away from what's happening in my house because I can't think that I have to be cooped up in here, then I miss the opportunities. My wife has been trying to post, you know, as they come to her, but usually once a day, silver linings, ideas, right? Ideas of what are the silver linings of being cooped up in here? What are these silver linings? What are these different things? So I missed the opportunity to catch this. I missed these opportunities. So let me tell you a couple of these great principles from Rabbeinu Moshe Linehan. There's a lot of different skills over here. So I just wanted to take one or two ideas, and then we'll do a skill or two. So part of what we're running away from, as opposed to accepting where we are, she says, freedom from a suffering requires acceptance from the deep within of what is. Let yourself go completely with what is. Let go of fighting reality. Acceptance is the only way out of hell. Pain creates suffering only when you refuse to accept the pain. Deciding to tolerate the moment is acceptance. The moment I accept here is the moment I can try to find the gold under my chair or my oven or in this moment. The moment that I stop fighting with the fact that I'm here is the moment that I can start taking in the presence. To accept something is not the same as judging it as good, right? It doesn't mean that this is what I dreamed of. I dreamed of being locked in the house with my family for the foreseeable future. I mean, maybe you like your family, but like still being there together, it's a lot. Acceptance of reality as it is requires an act of choice. It's like coming to a fork in the road. You have to turn your mind towards the acceptance road and away from the rejecting reality road. And in it, you need to make an inner commitment to accept. So let's practice a little bit right now. Let's practice. We'll practice with breathing, although there are other exercises that you can do. Let's practice right now. Everybody, feel the chair under you. I happen to be sitting in those chairs in the basement, so they're nice and smushy. And if you know the chairs that I'm talking about, they used to be in the living room, nice smushy chairs. can see my chair over here, right? It's nice and smushy. A nice smushy chair. I'm sitting in a nice smushy chair. Feel the chair under you, or your bed under you. Feel your feet under the floor, right? We're calling ourselves now to the moment. We're calling ourselves now into the moment. Do you feel, I have these nice armrests, so do you feel the smushy armrest under your elbows? Can you measure, can you feel your breath? Breathe in through your nose. Do you feel the rush of air coming in? Do you let the air out now? Did you feel the air rushing out? Abraham, bring the air in through your nose. Let the air out through your mouth. Feel yourself in the now. Feel yourself welcome the whole situation. Accepting the whole situation. There's nothing I can do to make the corona go away in the next minute. There's nothing that I can do to run out of this house right now. I'm right here. There's nothing that's going to stop the kids from fighting right now. Or in the next second. I mean, I can go upstairs and stop them, but nothing that's going to stop the kids from screaming at each other. I'm right here, and that's okay. That's where I am right now. It's where it is right now. I'm grounding myself right here in the now. Right here, being present. Not trying to run away because it's not gonna help. Listen to the air come in through your mouth, nose, and let it out slowly through your mouth. Listen to yourself breathing normally. If you want, we'll try to improving the moment right now. Imagine the most relaxing scene you can. Imagine a secret room within yourself. Imagine how it's decorated. Can you go here when you're feeling threatened, when you're feeling scared? Close the door, anything that can hurt you. Imagine it going very well. Imagine the feelings of being scared, of any difficult, hurtful, painful emotions. Feel them in your body. Do you see where they are? Now imagine like somewhere in your body there's a spigot and somebody, you know, flushed it down, flushed it out, turned it out, let it drain out. Let it drain out of your shoulders. Let it rush down your body, your trunk. Let it flow through your thighs. Down past your knees. I'm imagining the spigot is in the middle, you know, of my calf, but you can imagine it's wherever you want. And that negative feeling is just rushing out of your body. Imagine whatever color change that you wanted to change in your body. Imagine going from like a red to a cool blue. If that works for you, or if the association works better, a cool blue to a red. Works for you too. Just imagine draining all out. Breathe in through your nose, out through your mouth. Think what that room is like. What are the colors of the walls? What are the decorations that are there? What's the door like to get in? A thumb scanner. Retinal code. 613, some combination on the door. It's very quiet and peaceful. Are you sitting in a poofy chair like me? What's your chair like that you're sitting in this safe spot, in the safe room? You have a peaceful feeling? Do you know where that peaceful feeling is in your body? If you found it in your body, let it spread out. Let it spread out through the rest of your body. Up and out for me, I'm feeling it in my middle. It's going up and out, down my legs and up my trunk into my shoulders. Wonderful image, that safe place exercise that we're doing. Can you feel yourself sitting in your chair right now? Can you feel your feet on the floor? You feel where your fingers are, what they're doing? Okay, you can either take a moment or two. You can feel free to take that moment or two. Are you feeling your breath right now? Can you feel what it's like? Okay. I hope this has been calming for you. It's pretty calming for me. So, staying here in the moment, can't always run straight away to our quiet place. So, if you can't, when you're feeling very overwhelmed, the safe place exercise is very good, very useful, very helpful. Sometimes staying right here, right now, grounding yourself also, very useful and very helpful. That works for you. Let's try not to run away from the moments. Let's try not to run away from now because we don't know what we're missing. Right here, right now, there's a gold under our seats or under our ovens. If we can dig, if we can learn to dig, we're going to, in Yetzer Hashem next week, talk more about the digging, about what we can do about digging in the moment to try to acquire the moments. To see what we can mine out of this moment, to learn to dig more out of under our oven. Not running away from the house is one thing, and digging under the oven is a second piece. So, it's Hashem, next week I hope, unless somebody messages me over the course of the week and finds they need something else, then we'll do that. But we'll learn to dig under the oven, it's Hashem, next week. Thank you all for tuning in. If there's anything anyone wants to share, we can unmute you, or we can just say goodbye for now.